Hey, good morning. Welcome to Your Turn. This is Mike Causey. Delighted to have you with us. We're continuing our series of health plan hunting season tips for you. And my guest is Walton Francis. He is editor and author and everything else of the Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Health Plans for 2013. The checkbook is on newsstands in the Washington and Baltimore areas. It's $9.95. I've seen it in Barnes & Noble and at a couple of drugstores in the area. You can also get the online version, which many people prefer, including Walt Francis, the editor of it. And you can get that by going to, what is the?
www.guidetohealthplans.org.
Okay, easy to remember, guidetohealthplans.org, and you can get it there. And also, you might want to check with your federal agency, because a number of federal agencies have subscribed to it for their employees. That means you can look at, you can do your shopping at work with their approval, and give you a lot of time, and you can, you know, the wisdom of the crowd, you can check with other people in your office too about it. And also, if you belong to the AFGE or the National Treasury Employees Unions, they have made that available to their members for free too. A very nice service. And our number here, if you have questions for Walton Francis, is 202-465-3080. It's 202, that's the Washington area code, 465-3080. And we'll go right to the phones, if we could, here, to the questions we've got. Here's one that says, please explain how the high deductible or HD plans work. Aren't they geared toward younger, healthier workers? And that would be what I would think.
Well, they will work very well for younger, healthier workers, but they're really not limited in that way at all. In fact, there are special advantages to belonging to a high deductible plan when you're in your 50s, because you can make something called catch-up contributions to a health savings account. I think those plans all have great catastrophic protection, good insurance. It's just that there's this hurdle of the high deductible that you have to pass over before regular insurance kicks in. What I recommend to people generally, and they tend, by the way, to be among the best buys in the FEHPP program, what I tend to recommend to people is, if you don't have known high predictable expenses, for example, if you don't take $2,000 a year of name brand prescription drugs or something like that, you should definitely consider these plans, because they're very good buys at any age. They have one really neat feature that I think is especially valuable to younger enrollees, which is if you're in a plan, high deductible plan with a health savings account, that's like an IRA on steroids, and you put your money in tax free, or the government puts money in for you tax free. It grows tax free, and you can take it out tax free. It's a lifetime account. So, and you can build it. All those years, including saving it for those years when you have to take a bunch of name brand drugs.
So I join an HD plan, and I don't use it very much, but what I do use, there is a deductible.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
And then when I hit when I exceed that,
then regular insurance kicks in. But you get a free annual physical, okay? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you've got your checkup, your wellness checkup.
Yeah.
And you've got that savings account, which you can choose to use or not, okay? But if you're not using much health care, you could, for example, you could just pay out of pocket, you know, for a visit or two, and let that health savings account build up over time.
And that comes from the government or the insurance plan?
Well, indirectly from the government, because the government's paying most of the premium.
Oh, I see.
It's part of the deal.
Right.
The plan sets up a savings account for you and contributes to it.
And how much is it a year?
Well, it varies from plan to plan, but, you know, it's typically somewhere around $1,000. Families, it's more, self is less, might be $750 for self only and $1,500 for family. So it varies. If you don't spend much, it carries over from year to year. It builds up. So after a couple of years, it begins to be real money.
And you mentioned something about catch-up contributions.
Yeah, when you're there's a lot of detailed rules about this that I won't bore people with.
Yeah.
But when you reach a certain age, nearing retirement, and you want to build your HSA account up further, you can actually add extra money to it, and that's tax advantaged money. Again, a lot of this is just taking advantage of the tax system. Interestingly, it is the case in some of these plans that the amount of money in the savings account is more. That you get each year in the savings account is more than you are paying in premium, taking into account the premium conversion that lowers the after-tax cost to your premium. So it's sort of almost like health insurance for free if you're healthy. If you're not healthy, it's a good insurance plan.
And you said when this comes out, did I hear you, it's tax-free?
Yes.
When you withdraw it? So it is a Roth IRA on steroids?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. I know where I'm going after this show. Here's a question from Dane in, doesn't say where. Thanks for keeping the feds informed. Sometimes the official channels are pretty good, but sometimes not so much. A question I have for Mr. Francis has to do with dividing line between fee-for-service plans and HMOs. For example, in OPM summary charts, APW health plan, CDHP, which is consumer-driven, is listed with the fee-for-service plans, but Aetna Healthcare's CDHP is listed with the HMO plans. These two plans seem quite similar, both in coverage and philosophy of care. Would your guests highlight the differences? Last year I switched from Aetna CDHP to APW CDHP. Also this year, Aetna's CDHP is listed as a new plan, even though they had a CDHP last year.
Okay.
Wow.
The statute underlying the FEHVP actually only categorizes plans in certain ways, and what we normally think of as HMOs are labeled comprehensive plans for no apparent reason. I guess at one time their benefits were broader than most other insurance plans. In any event, for reasons I think mainly of historical convenience rather than clear logic, OPM is carrying the plans that you're eligible for in a lot of its materials in three broad categories. And what I call the national plans, the consumer-driven and high-deductible plans, and the HMO plans. And depending on what some of the CD plans are lumped in with HMOs and some are not. In this particular case, Aetna has kept its original consumer-driven, CD stands for consumer-driven, has kept its consumer-driven plan but had to raise premiums a lot. People can stay in the old version of it, but they've opened a new version, okay, which is lower premiumed, and which anyone considering that plan should join. So that's the difference between the old and new versions. And as the reader has noted, there are a number of consumer driven plans, including APWU, Aetna, those are the two. Actually. Now, think
GIHA?
About it.
Is GIHA one?
No,
of GIHA
is a high deductible.
Okay, okay.
The consumer driven are similar to the high deductible, but not the same. And the main difference is that instead of getting an HSA account that's yours to keep forever, you get what's called an HRA account. It's also money that can carry over, but if you ever leave the plan with a balance, it goes back to the reverts back to the plan.
Okay, so you're locking yourself in for life if that's your goal.
Right.
Okay. Very good. All right. So, and I notice in your book, and by the way, an idea, explanation about how your system works is that you look at not only premiums, which is what most people fixate on, but you also look at their likelihood of having an average year, an easy year, a terrible year in the medical field. And you combine those, and there are percentages here in your book, charts that show if you have a year where you have no medical bills whatsoever, just the premiums. If you have a horrible medical year, it shows your catastrophic limit, the out-of-pocket amount to you until the insurance kicks in. To me, it seems like a very good way to do it, very realistic way to do it. And in the case of that last question, the APW and Aetna rank very closely in premiums and in out-of-pocket costs. So it's a good choice for that person. All right, here's one from Laura with Interior, and she is in California. Says, please ask Mr. Francis this, and suckers on the East Coast and Colorado should really pay attention. So you suckers on the East Coast and in Colorado, listen up. She said, I live in Sacramento, California, and have been a member of Kaiser since 1966. Federal worker retiree in this area must pay $830 a month for the high deductible and over $500 a month for standard. Compare this to other states, Colorado, Hawaii, Ohio, Washington, Oregon, Virginia, Maryland. High rates top out at $450 a month and standard between $150 and $230. This will happen to other areas like Sacramento if the federal employees are not aware of this terrible sham. I can live in Hawaii cheaper than Sacramento if I remain in this health plan. So what about that?
It's unfortunate, and there's actually quite a simple explanation for why the premiums are particularly high. First, each plan has to cover the costs of the people who enroll in the plan. All right. And so most of the people who enroll in most Kaiser plans around the country tend to be younger and healthier. And younger people, on average, cost a lot less than older people. For some reason, there's been a disproportionate number of older retirees in Northern California who don't have Medicare Parts A and B, and now that it's really expensive because all their costs have to be covered by the Kaiser plan, and enough of them have congregated in that plan, and I think it's mainly a result of other HMOs dropping out. So it's sort of the last HMO standing in Northern California for federal employees. It's just very unfortunate, but it's got a lot of high-cost people, and its premiums are accordingly higher. And believe me, Kaiser is very aware of this problem, and they wish they could do something about it.
I bet, yeah. Going to take a short break here, talking with Walton Francis of the Washington Consumer Checkbook. Be right back here on Federal News Radio.
This week's Experts in Health topic is diabetic health, featuring Dr. Karen Dodge, an internal medicine provider with the Mid-Atlantic Permanente Medical Group, who practices at Kaiser Permanente's Severna Park Medical Center.
Did you know that diabetes is the leading cause of kidney failure in the United States? Monitoring for diabetic kidney disease is a multi-step process and involves numerous tests and treatments. At every primary care visit, we check whether our diabetic patients need lab tests to evaluate their kidney function so we can detect problems early and act quickly to treat them. It's no surprise that Kaiser Permanente Mid-Atlantic was just ranked number one in the nation in screening for kidney disease among diabetics, outperforming all the other local and national plans.
Dr. Dodge received diabetic recognition for providing excellent diabetes care for the National Committee for Quality Assurance. For more information, visit kp.org/midatlantic and click Meet Our Doctors. Comprehensive diabetes care, medical attention for nephropathy, rate as reported in HEDIS 2012.
What are the key strategic priorities for the U.S. Customs and Border Protection? How is CBP pursuing innovative security strategies in its field operations? What is CBP doing to be more efficient and effective in meeting its mission? Join host Michael Keegan as he explores these questions and so much more with Kevin McAleenan, Acting Assistant Commissioner, Office of Field Operations at CBP, next week on the Business of Government Hour.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The leader in informational seminars on federal benefits, financial, and retirement planning. NITP was established in 1984 and is 100% devoted to federal planning seminars. The mission is to educate federal employees and enable them to make fully informed decisions regarding their financial futures and retirement options. Through a variety of teaching platforms and seminars, NITP has the experience to help with your planning needs. Visit NITPinc.com. That's NITPinc.com for more information.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio 1500 AM every Friday morning at 11. Brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth, Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to FedTalk@FederalNewsRadio.com. Fed Talk is sponsored by GEICO. This week on Fed Talk, host Deborah Roth will be joined by the Society of FBI Alumni and the Society of Former Special Agents of the FBI to talk about their past experiences with the Bureau.
Legacy network expense dragging you down? Eliminate the cost and use manpower more efficiently with the JITC-certified IP Gate AC from Cornet Technology. The IP Gate AC increases mission effectiveness by providing a means to bridge serial networks into the IP world. Cornet Technology designs, engineers, and manufactures C4ISR solutions, both custom and COTS, right here in the Washington area. See the IP Gate AC at cornet.com. Cornet Technology, the experts in voice, video, and data communications.
It's about smiles. It's about laughter. It's about going out and making a difference in the life of a child. You don't have to get mad. You just have to go mad. GoMad2011.com is a website dedicated to supporting the Make-A-Wish Foundation. At GoMad, our mission is simple, to go out and make a difference. So how can you help? Visit the Wish Wall on GoMad2011.com and make a contribution today. Or find out how you can donate with a simple text message. Do it now so that we can continue to touch the lives of children with life-threatening conditions by granting their wishes.
Hey, welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey, and I'm talking with Walton Francis. He is editor of the Washington Consumer Checkbook Guide to Federal Health Plans, and it's really this is my favorite time of year because this is real news. This is the kind of thing that the open season for federal workers and retirees. This is when people can save a lot of money with just a little work on their part. And having Walton on the show is great because the last question we just had from a woman in Sacramento, and she said, Aetna out there is breaking the bank. She can't stand it, and it's coming to the rest of the world, the East Coast, the suckers on the East Coast, she said. And it was interesting to have Walt here because you know the reason. And the reason is that for some reason in Northern California, the HMOs, which normally attract young, healthy people, have a lot of older people who are heavy users. And the HMOs have dropped out, and Aetna is left standing. And
Kaiser,
I'm sorry. And it's left standing, and that's why the premiums are going up.
Yeah, and this is, unfortunately, a problem in the entire program because a lot of people are finding that it's not worth signing up for Medicare Part B after they retire. They can save a lot of premium expense.
Yeah.
And then because Medicare is primary, that the plan can't benefit from Medicare paying first, and that raises premiums for everybody in that plan.
Yeah.
And so we have a generic problem in the FHCP that has not yet been solved.
Right. And this is one of those things, too, where so many people, they want the advantage of a group plan with the shared premiums, particularly if you're a heavy user, if you're older, if you have children, sick kids, you're having a baby. But everybody wants the group plan, but they want it custom tailored to them. So, well, let's go to the phones here. Hey, yes, you with us? Hello, can we? Oh, they ran away. Okay, our number here is 202-465-3080, 465-3080. And Walt's got another question here. My wife and I are 70-year-old retirees. She's a Navy civilian. I am from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. We have GEHA. What are our other options?
Okay. They don't say whether or not they have Medicare, so let me cover both contingencies,
okay,
with and without. First place, I hope they have GEHA standard option, which is a much better buy than GEHA high option. And it's an excellent choice for people with or without Medicare, believe it or not. Typically, and I'm sure they do have Medicare Part A, it's the Part B part that some people get and some people don't. The plan has one important weakness, if you will, which is that it only pays half the cost of name brand prescription drugs. But if they don't have a lot of those drugs, the chances are they shouldn't be looking elsewhere. That said, there's lots of other inexpensive choices. Believe it or not, the high deductible and consumer driven plans that I earlier mentioned, most of them by APWU, Aetna, but also GEHA itself has a high deductible plan, and mail handlers, which is now MVBP, okay,
mm-hmm,
has a high deductible plan. And normally in a high deductible plan, you have a health savings account, but you can join them and get an HRA account because you're not allowed to have an HSA account if you have other insurance, and that would be Medicare Part A. So those plans are all open to you, and you can certainly take a look at any of those brochures. They describe their high deductible options extremely well. Among the regular national plans that don't have the high deductible, I think if you're eligible, and you probably are not, Foreign Service Plan,
mm-hmm,
you know, you have to be Foreign Affairs Community,
right.
Blue Cross Basic.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good deal. Its limitation is that it pays nothing if you go out of network. But if you're willing to stay within the Blue Cross network, you can't really beat Blue Cross Basic. APWU high option. SAMBA standard option. NALC, that's the letter carrier's plan. Those half dozen plans are all excellent buys. They're not quite as frugal as GEHA standard, but they all have some strengths it doesn't have, like better prescription drug benefits. And then, of course, there's the other whole class of inexpensive options. Some, but not all, the HMOs are very good buys. Kaiser standard option, the Aetna Open Access Basic is a very good deal. CareFirst Blue Choice. So you actually have about, in the D.C. area, about a dozen good choices other than GEHA standard option.
Good deal.
That said, you're not in a bad place.
Right. GEHA's a good one. All right. We go to the phones. Yes, sir. You with us?
Yes, I am, sir. I'm eligible for Medicare Part B, and I would like to know what plans are best for someone like me who might want to change. What do you think of NALC versus GEHA?
Okay, now those plans both work regardless of whether or not I take it. Are you going to take Medicare Part B or not? Have you decided?
I think I will.
Okay. They both work very well with Medicare Part B. The deal in those plans and most of the national plans is as follows. If you have Medicare Parts A, which is free and covers hospital, and B, for which you pay a premium of a little over $100 a month and covers doctor costs, if you have those two parts of Medicare, they guarantee that you will pay zero for hospital or doctor costs in their plan. So, and not only that, you get that same guarantee whether you're in-network or out-of-network, which is, I think, far and away the big advantage of having Medicare Part B. So in either case, you're going to get that full wraparound coverage. The difference between the two is that NALC has a first-class, wonderful prescription drug benefit, whereas, as I just mentioned, GEHA's standards is a little weaker for name brand drugs. That said, the GEHA premium is several hundred dollars a year less. So you really, what I would decide based in that kind of case is if my drug costs are low, the retail costs of them are low, probably GEHA is the better deal. Otherwise, NALC is probably the better deal. And the one other factor to consider in your choice is, do you have any particular doctors you want to keep? And they may be preferred in one of those plans and not the other. As it happens, we have something in Checkbook's online guide that helps you with the doctor issue, because in the D.C. metro area, we do let you enter the name or names of your physicians, and we will instantly show you which plans they're preferred in and which they're not, and that can help narrow your choice.
One last question. Would it be worth one's while to get Medicare Part D if you have GEHA to offset the limitations of
What a great question.
It is, yes.
I normally don't mention this because we got a very smart audience today. I have friends, and I've advised others. If you really want to be in GEHA standard option, but you one member of the family, for example, has high drug costs, then sign up for Part D of Medicare for that one person. Normally, it doesn't make much sense to do that if you're in the FEHVP, because the drug benefits are equal to or better than all Medicare Part D plans. But the fact is that GEHA will wrap around and pretty much takes away that entire disadvantage. A little more paperwork. You got to deal with two plans instead of one. But other than that, no, it's an excellent option. The Medicare Part D plans cost around, they vary, but they tend to run $300 to $400 a year, $30, $40 a month. And
that's a steal.
They are.
Yeah, very good. Thank you, sir.
Great question.
All right. A really, really good question. I'm thinking my mother was a retired government worker, and she got dementia in her last couple of years, and she was in a nursing home and required a lot of care and all that. And she had, I won't say it, but she had one of the federal health plans, basic. She had Medicare, and she had long-term care insurance, which she'd purchased, not through the government, but she did get it. And between those three, I call it belt and suspenders and another belt, between those three, we had very little out-of-pocket costs ourselves, and she had very little, minimal, we're talking $50 a month, something like that, for this superb care. And it was a great thing for us, the family, and it was a great thing for her dignity factor to the extent she recognized it. So.
Yeah, that. Just mention, OPM has a very good website, opm.gov/insure, and on that website they cover not just the health costs, okay, but also other things you could do in open season, like set up a flexible spending account. And the reason I mention this is there is a federal employee long-term care program. They're not having an open season right now, but a federal employee should certainly consider signing up for that program.
Absolutely, yeah. The nursing home costs are just humongous all over the country, particularly in the Washington area. Got another phone call here. Yes, you with us?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to I noticed there's a big difference in the premium between GEHA and the SAMBA plans, and prescription drug is not a problem for me because my wife has that in another place. Question is, other coverage look pretty similar.
So GEHA and SAMBA?
It's SAMBA. There's sort of GEHA is the inexpensive plan, along with Blue Cross Basic. Then there's some really high-cost plans like Blue Cross Standard, mail handlers, standard, and the GIA high option, which, okay. Yeah. And then there's some plans in between. And SAMBA standard option is one of those. You know, I think you have to decide. It's got excellent benefits in every respect. GIA has every excellent benefits in every respect except name brand prescription drugs.
Which is not a problem for me.
Well, but your wife is part of the deal, so you have to take.
No, my wife works for the county public schools, which gives a pretty good prescription plan.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, no reason for you not to sign up for GIHA. Let me remind you, though, there's a couple of gotchas in this otherwise wonderful FEHPP program. One of them is if you die in a self-only enrollment, your wife.
No, I will still keep a family plan.
Oh, well, then I think GIHA family plan is excellent for you, and the wife can keep her county coverage to cover the drug costs, and you're one of the lucky ones who have it better every way. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good question. So you were going to say, though, if you die and you have self-only coverage, then your private sector spouse is out of luck.
Is out of luck the rest of his or her life. Mm-hmm. So that's you really want to be in family coverage.
Yeah. I mean, and in that case, get an inexpensive plan just to cover to ensure that you have insurance.
Right.
Got to take a short break. Talking with Walton Francis, Consumer Checkbook Guide to Health Plans. We'll be right back here on Federal News Radio.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
What's the old saying? Build a better mousetrap and the world will beat a path to your door. The trouble is, a lot of mousetraps aren't any better. They're just new. At Geico, we've been saving people money on car insurance since 1936. That's over 75 years of savings. It's simple logic, really. Why not go with the company that invented the mousetrap? Of savings, that is.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Geico says, let's make life simpler.
You need to buy something, but you don't want to make a mistake. So what do? Scour the web? Collect sales circulars? Ask your brother-in-law? How about this? When it comes to car insurance, Geico has a 97% customer satisfaction rating. I repeat, 97%. So make it simple. Just ask a friend who has Geico. Then click or call. You could make it 98%.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Now that I've moved to Washington, I need a new primary care doctor.
Got it handled.
And a gynecologist with appointment time.
Got it.
And a dermatologist who's taking new patients.
Got it.
And a safe pharmacy, one that doesn't make me nervous when I have to pick up prescriptions late after work.
Got it handled.
Okay, how exactly do you have it handled? It's my first week in Washington, and you have an entire integrated care team for me?
Yep. You just need to enroll in Kaiser Permanente. They have integrated medical teams, some of the best care sites, 24/7 availability for urgent care. They have convenient online tools and a mobile app. And now J.D. Power and Associates rank them highest in member satisfaction among commercial health plans in the Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. region 4 years in a row.
I can get all that just by joining Kaiser Permanente?
You got it.
When it comes to care teams, Kaiser Permanente is clearly the right choice.
For J.D. Power and Associates award information, go to jdpower.com. Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
If you raise high the buff in blue, now's your chance to win prizes for showing your commitment to the Colonials. Visit RaiseHighRewards.com now and start earning points for your likes, retweets, shares, check-ins, and more with GW Athletics content from GWSports.com and social media properties. Registration is free, and you can win special fan experiences, ticket upgrades, and buff in blue gear. Visit RaiseHighRewards.com now.
This week I've been looking at solar chargers for my iPhone. Last week I was out and about and my iPhone went dead as a doornail. And I thought to myself, you know, there's all this sunlight. Why couldn't I get a solar charger for this? And there are a number of solar chargers out there. Now, the charge time varies anywhere from 6 hours to 12 hours, depending on which one you get. But at least you can get something going.
Stratford University's Tech Talk Radio, Saturday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1500 AM.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's
going on? June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
A holiday drive to visit family or friends can be filled with unpleasant surprises, like bad traffic on usually fast-moving back roads and highways. Traffic patterns shift daily, often in maddeningly unpredictable ways. But Tim Lomax, a research engineer for the Texas Transportation Institute, says new technologies are beginning to help.
We understand a lot of that frustration at a lot better level than we used to.
In addition to using traffic sensors, Lomax checks data coming from traveling smartphones and navigation devices.
We don't really know individual people's traffic patterns, but they are, in essence, allowing us to see the speed on the roads that they're traveling on.
He says they reveal valuable details that can help with new ideas for moving traffic more smoothly. To find out more about this story, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Mike Causey, welcome back to Your Turn. Talking with Walton Francis. He is editor of the Washington Consumer Checkbook and has been doing this Bible for the health plan guide for more than 30 years now. And we have some callers on the line. Our number here is 202-465-3080. It's 465-3080. And you're on the air. You with us?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. What's your question?
Hey, I'm single, 61. I'm with the United Healthcare, MAMC, and I'm wondering if I can get a better plan.
Came to the right spot. Walt Francis is here.
And okay. Another quick question on that. My mother's 91. Can she get the long-term health care, and how much would it cost?
Okay. I don't think your mother's going to be able to buy it at age 91, but you certainly could call the Hartford, for example, sells privately long-term care insurance.
Okay.
What's the cost of a phone call, which mm-hmm. these days is as close to zero as it doesn't matter. You say you're in MAMSE. I assume you mean you're in MDIPA?
That's correct.
Yeah. We put MDIPA, it's one of the HMOs. It's a good one. It's right in the middle of the pack in terms of our estimate of cost for people of your age. You can save a fair amount of money by going to Kaiser, but you might not want to do that because, as I'm sure you know, but all our listeners may not, most HMOs use a large panel of preferred providers, and the deal is use one of their providers who are doctors in regular private practice, and you pay practically nothing, you know, $20 a visit. But if you go out of network, you have to pay it all. Well, Kaiser has a much Kaiser uses doctors that are its own employees, okay? And you go to a Kaiser center, and same deal. You don't get any coverage out of network, but it's a more restricted set of choices. A lot of people love it, a lot of people don't. But that's certainly an option for you. Another option that would save you some money probably is CareFirst Blue Cross Standard. And even the CareFirst Blue Choice High is a tie with MDIPA, and you aren't going to save a lot of money in the standard. So you're probably, if you like MDIPA, otherwise, I'd be inclined to say stick with it.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
All right. Good question. Yeah, that's interesting. And again, I'm looking at your ratings here. He's 61, single, and for persons 55 to 64 on your rating thing here, it shows Kaiser, if you had an average year, average medical year in 2013, your standard, you'd pay out about $20 next year in premiums and out of pocket. And in MDIPA, it would be $23.80. So it's a good way to look at it. And even in some of the ones that rank way down toward the bottom, the actual dollar difference isn't that much. It's just where they rank. Got a question here from somebody. Says, I like the premiums and benefits in Samba, but I'm not sure I qualify for it. I work for the Interior Department.
Not to worry. Samba used to be called the Special Agents Mutual Benefit Association Plan, and it was limited to pretty much FBI only. But in the last decade or so, it's been open to all federal employees and annuitants without any real restrictions. So by all means, check it out. And the standard option is one of the better buys. And you're eligible.
I had a friend who worked for the DEA. He was not an agent, but he was with the DEA, and he had Samba insurance. He was in Chicago one time and had what he thought was a heart attack. Turned out it wasn't, but they called the emergency, the paramedics and whatnot, and when he flashed his insurance card, they saw it was Samba, and he said he got gold treatment from it. They thought he was an agent. Okay, well, back to the if you do a seminar, and I know you do many of them for congressional groups and for NARF and others. How do you run it? What do you say?
Well, what I like to do is give them a lot of sort of how does the program work, how are things changing this year, et cetera, and general advice kind of information, but then mostly do it questions and answers, just like we're doing on the radio.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, people have their own personal, you know, problem with a question. Turns out the answer is probably of interest to, you know, half the listeners.
Well, in that Part D, Medicare Part D question, it had never come up before. Am I hyping it when I say that this health insurance hunting season, this is possibly the most important financial decision you'll make for your family for this year, for next?
Oh, absolutely. We haven't talked actually about some of those general points, like how's your family's health situation this year and is it changing for next year? Are you in a plan that's going to cover that special services that your child may need, or that's going to do what you need in terms of the artificial hip you plan to get? And of course, then there's the question of the overall catastrophic coverage good enough for you, because you don't really know what's going to happen to you next year. You hope you don't have a heart attack, and you can't guarantee, there's no guarantee you won't. So, yeah, this is the other point is that with, again, another year of pay freeze, okay, and insurance premiums do go up a little, at least a little every year. This year it's only 3.4% on average, but that means, in effect, on average, people are losing something out of their paycheck. But there's a way to make that up, because you give yourself a pay raise by joining a plan that's got a lower likely cost to you. And again, our method is to look at both premiums and out-of-pocket costs, because they both hit your wallet, and give you the choice. We tell you kind of what the average is likely to be for family of your size, your age, and also the premiums vary by pay system and so on. We take all that into account. The computer goes whir, click, hum, and it will give you a tailored answer as to which plans will save you how much money compared to other plans. The typical family, you know, the majority of families, the FHVP, can save $1,000 to $2,000 next year by changing plans.
Yeah, in an era of pay freezes, that's not chicken feed. 202-465-3080. And, yes, we have a caller on the line.
Hello?
Yes, what can I do for you, ma'am?
Yes. My husband worked for the government for 30 years with the family plan. He passed away in 2009, and I kept up the self standard. And I'm 83 years old now. I'm just wondering if I should continue with that.
Which plan did you say it was?
The Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Okay.
The standard.
Blue Cross Blue Shield standard option is probably, that's the gold standard. That's the Cadillac plan of the FEHPP. It's perfectly okay to be in it. And indeed, I recommend, if people really want peace of mind, that's a great plan to be in. It's not the least expensive. So that's the question for you. Do you want to try to reduce your premium cost? And you could probably save easily. I can, we show savings of more than $500 are possible in several different other plans other than Blue Cross Standard. One option to take a look at if you're feeling a little bit frisky about this, Blue Cross Basic. It's the same company. It's the same panel of preferred providers. If you don't have to go out of network, okay.
I prefer to stay in this. My husband said I should stay in this one.
Well, then that's a reason to stay in it.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I also ask you, I'm 83, and could I get the long term with the federal government, or is that, you know, I'm too old to get it?
I think you're probably too old to get it, but they don't have an open season on that anyway right now. They only open it up every few years.
Oh.
So I would say that's unlikely. You could call, again, I think the Hartford is the main company that still does this privately, and you could talk to them. My guess is you'd find it prohibitively expensive at your age.
Well, I tried to get my husband to take it out when he first started working, but he bypassed it. And when he passed away, I thought we should have taken it out, but it was too late.
A lot of people don't like to think about it.
He never wanted to talk about it. He never did.
That's not unusual. Yeah. All right. Thank you much. Okay, thank you. Take a short break here. Be right back here on Federal News Radio.
Are you shopping for insurance in the same place you go to watch cat videos? Don't spend hours trolling the internet looking for cheap dental or vision plans. Call the Government Employees Benefit Association. With GEBA, you'll work with knowledgeable representatives who understand the intricacies of your government benefits and lifestyle.
Based on your needs, they can offer government employees, like you, basic and enhanced policies at competitive rates. They offer comprehensive dental plans that give members the freedom to choose a dentist they know and also the ability to roll over up to $1,000 in unused benefits. With GEBA's Vision Plan, members get the advantage of competitive rates with an extensive network of ophthalmologists, optometrists, opticians, and retailers, plus an annual pair of glasses or contact lenses. Open enrollment for dental and vision plans runs from November 12th to December 17th. For more information, visit GEBA.com or call 1-800-826-1126 to speak with a representative today and stop wasting time searching online.
Agency of the Month, United States Postal Service, sponsored by Sprint.
Ellis Burgoyne, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Postal Service.
You could get a physical piece of mail and also get a digitized version of it in your smartphone or at your desktop. We actually have that technology available now. The question is, how much value does that offer to customers and mailers and folks in the marketing industry? And, you know, is there consumer demand for that?
Agency of the Month, only on Federal News Radio and federalnewsradio.com.
United States Postal Service employees get 25% off select Sprint monthly services, and for a limited time, also receive a $100 service credit when they switch a line to Sprint. Visit Sprint.com/USPS or go to a Sprint retail store and mention you're an employee, retiree, or contractor of the United States Postal Service. Coverage not available everywhere. Ends 12/31/12. Subject to 2-year agreement, activation and early termination fees and other restrictions. Service credit will be credited within 3 invoices. Restrictions apply.
This week's Experts in Health topic is diabetic health, featuring Dr. Karen Dodge, an internal medicine provider with the Mid-Atlantic Permanente Medical Group, who practices at Kaiser Permanente's Severna Park Medical Center.
Did you know that diabetes is the leading cause of kidney failure in the United States? Monitoring for diabetic kidney disease is a multi-step process and involves numerous tests and treatments. At every primary care visit, we check whether our diabetic patients need lab tests to evaluate their kidney function so we can detect problems early and act quickly to treat them. It's no surprise that Kaiser Permanente Mid-Atlantic was just ranked #1 in the nation in screening for kidney disease among diabetics, outperforming all the other local and national plans.
Dr. Dodge received diabetic recognition for providing excellent diabetes care for the National Committee for Quality Assurance. For more information, visit kp.org/midatlantic and click Meet Our Doctors. Comprehensive diabetes care, medical attention for nephropathy, rate as reported in HEDIS 2012.
GEICO says, let's make life simpler.
Look, I'm all for modern conveniences. But ask yourself, do you really need a blender with 23 buttons just to chop an onion? At GEICO, we think life should be simpler. So we make it super simple to save on car insurance. Just one click and you could be on your way to saving hundreds. Come on, people. Life doesn't have to be that complicated.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. GEICO says, let's make life simpler.
You need to buy something, but you don't want to make a mistake. So what do? Scour the web? Collect sales circulars? Ask your brother-in-law? How about this? When it comes to car insurance, GEICO has a 97% customer satisfaction rating. I repeat, 97%. So make it simple. Just ask a friend who has GEICO. Then click or call. You could make it 98%.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I'm Beyonce with an important message about hunger in America. Did you know 1 in 8 people struggle with hunger? Over 12 million children live in homes where there isn't always enough food. Food banks are experiencing more demand than ever. Show Your Helping Hand is a nationwide campaign with the goal of helping Feeding America deliver millions of meals to local food banks. Please join me in showing a helping hand to fight hunger. More information is available at showyourhelpinghand.com.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Welcome back to Your Turn. Mike Causey, talking with Walter Francis, editor of the Washington Consumer Checkbook. And Walt is going to bow out so that Sean Riley from the Federal Times can come in. But, Walt, you had some parting words, and you'll be back next week.
Yes, I will.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, we were just talking about what you'll probably discuss with Sean, which is people are scared of the fiscal cliff and what decisions might be made that hurt federal employees or retirees. So it's very something to keep on top of.
Yeah, this is not a drill, as they say. Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you, Walter Francis. Right. And Sean, are you there?
I'm here. How are
hey,
you?
Hey, thanks for batting cleanup again today. You heard what Walter was talking about, the sequestration. It's the lead story in the Washington Post today that President Obama is going beyond the Beltway to talk to different people about the dangers of sequestration and of going off the cliff. And I keep reminding myself, the very people, including the president, including the leaders of the House and the Senate, who are warning us about the dangers of sequestration, they voted for this and signed it, didn't they?
They did indeed. This was exactly, this was written into law last year as part of the Budget Control Act. And the idea was to present an alternative that was so dire and unpleasant that Congress and the White House would come up with an agreement beforehand to avert it. And unfortunately, they haven't done that at this point.
And I guess you're hearing from the unions that that Federal Postal Coalition is warning its people about all sorts of bad things that could occur.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing to keep in mind is that even if there is some agreement that will head off sequestration as these across-the-board budget cuts that are currently scheduled to begin taking effect early next year, that if there is an agreement to head it off, under current law, essentially provide a roadmap to reducing future federal deficits over the next 10 years or so by about $1 trillion in change. So they're still going to have to either come up with a combination with either tax increases, spending cuts, or a combination of both to meet that target. Again, under current law, which of course can be changed at any if Congress and the president decide to do so. But what you see is federal employee organization unions already mobilizing against possible change, further changes to federal pay and benefits. You had the Federal Workers Alliance this week, which is a coalition of about 20 unions, write to congressional leaders saying essentially that federal employees had given enough, through the pay freeze that's been in effect since fiscal 2011, and then through the increase in contributions that new federal employees will have to pay into the federal employee retirement system starting next year.
So the election's over, obviously. We're in a lame duck Congress now. All of the federal and postal unions endorsed President Obama, and I'm sure he's grateful for that. But how much clout do you feel they have with the administration, given that it and the Congress are on the brink of some kind of confrontation?
I think, some, but not an overwhelming amount. I don't think, you've got an awful lot of competing interests here, and federal employee groups are part of, one of those, but there are many others as well. And a lot depends on whether they can come to whether Congress, particularly congressional Republicans and the Obama administration can come to some agreement on raising taxes. But no, I think they've got a seat at the table. I don't think they own the table.
Yeah. Okay. They could bring a napkin.
Yes.
A different subject. For a couple of years now, we've been reading that federal workers are overpaid. Various groups, including the Heritage Foundation and others, have come up with the numbers that show that federal workers are paid more than the average American worker. They've shown that federal workers, on a job-for-job basis, are paid more than the average American worker. And a number of these things, including counting fringe benefits or straight salaries. Now we have the president's page, which says federal workers are underpaid about, I think it was 30, as much as 30%?
35%, compared, this is the Federal Salary Council, and which according to its latest findings, this came out last month, that the gap between private sector employees and federal workers grew to about 35%. Up around 8.3% from last year. Now it's hard to know exactly what's going on here. I think a lot of people dismiss this, the idea that private sector employees' compensation grew by 8% in just a year, particularly considering the economy. But it seems like part of what happened was there was a change in methodology. There had been something called the National Compensation Survey, which President Obama's budget basically canceled. And so instead, the council was relying on a model that uses a whole different source of data called the Occupational Employment Statistics data. But, yeah, there's still a lot of disagreement. I think, you know, Congressional Budget Office, for example, has found that once you take benefits into account, that actually federal employees do better than private sector folks. And I think you have to agree that most private sector employees nowadays do not get a defined benefit pension plan, which, of course, federal employees do, you know, either through the Civil Service Retirement System or the Federal Employees Retirement System.
Well, I'm reminded of that situation some years back when NASA and a private contractor, they were having some vehicle to land on Mars, and one used inches and the other used meters.
It all depends what yardstick you employ.
I don't want all the people doing this building a bridge that I'm going to cross over anytime soon. Sean, I know you've been watching the Postal Service. Buyouts and early outs seem to be the order of the day, huh?
They continue. We just got some numbers yesterday on the latest round. This was one that was announced back in September for employees who are under what's called the executive administrative schedule. These are basically supervisors, administrators, managers, and this was only an early retirement package. It did not include a buyout, you know, a financial incentive. And according to the Postal Service, about 3,600 employees are eligible. Only about 5%, 186, actually signed up for the offer. You know, I spoke yesterday to Lewis Atkins, who's president of the National Association of Postal Supervisors. He said that, you know, that interest would have been greater if the Postal Service had offered a buyout, as it's done for postmasters, mail handlers, and clerks. But essentially, there are just too many vacancies already for the post in the EAS, the Executive Administrative Schedule ranks, for the Postal Service to be able to justify offering a buyout, which of course does cost money, and which is something in short supply at the Postal Service right now.
That's been traditional, I think, with early outs in the government. If you offer an early out, you get a very low acceptance rate. 5% is about the norm. If it's accompanied with a buyout, it leaps.
Yeah, what's interesting, I mean, there's another buyout offer currently in progress, or there, you know, to postal employees represented by the American Postal Workers Union, and the deadline for full-time employees to sign up is December 3rd, and already they've got more than 20,000 who have agreed to take it at this point, which is over 10% of the eligible population.
Well, that's going to clog that retirement pipeline at the Office of Personnel Management, isn't it?
I suspect they're not looking forward to it.
Very good. All right. Well, Sean, thank you so much for filling in today. Very, very interesting stuff, and we'll talk to you next week. I wanted to say something special to our producer, Jolie Lee. She is signing off after running this show and a number of others. Michael O'Connell is making rude gestures back in the program room now. Jolie has earned a reputation as being cruel but fair, and what she hopes are better things. We wish her well. Thank you, Jolie, and thank you, folks. Remember, the shows are archived. Today's, I think, especially good because of Walton Francis' participation. You can get it on our homepage and listen to it again and again. And we'll see you next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Have a good week.